Thank you so much for being here this morning. Again, I'll add my words to Pastor Brian's. We are celebrating through the month of September our 35th birthday. I think there's a big old wall out there that says celebrating 35 years. You can get some selfies in front of that and post them all over the place and invite all kind of people during this next month. It's going to be a great time. Before I get started, service host, come on down. Make sure you have a note sheet. This is a church that we do fill in the blanks. There's pens in the seat backs there in front of you. Right now, get situated. Raise your hand if you did not receive an outline. I'll make sure everyone has an outline to follow along with. While that's happening, I want to mention that our Connect Group semester is getting started, and we, with all of our hearts, believe that no one should walk alone, that you should be surrounded with like-minded people who love God or are traveling in the same direction as you. And so we literally have all kind of groups. Well over 800 of us are involved in groups, and so we're starting an eight-week semester, and you can go out and the lobby there and find out all kind of information. I just wanted to mention we have cancer support groups, Lyme disease groups, strength and diversity group, addiction recovery groups, help with business essentials groups, young adult groups, college groups. There's an outdoor group. There's a cigar chat group. There's a financial peace university group. There are all kind of young moms groups. How many moms would say sometimes you feel like you're getting ready to lose your sanity? You're just hanging on. And so it helps to get around some other moms, just to get some encouragement. So young moms groups, there's marriages that last groups, there's coffee study groups, women's supper club group, high school guy group, girls groups, young married groups, young married with kids groups, and I go on and on and on. Don't let this semester go by without maybe putting yourself out there and getting connected to some other people in the family of God. Also, quickly, for our 35th birthday, we went to all the community leaders in our area, and we asked them the question, what do you need done that you haven't been able to get done? Because for our birthday, our church is leaving this church, and we're going to go out and just fix things in our community. In one 24-hour period, we're going to touch this entire community. That's coming up Saturday, September the 17th, Pastor? The 16th, so it's right around the corner. We're going to be helping the Loudoun Abused Women's Shelter. We're going to be helping a Habitat for Humanity neighborhood. We're going to be bringing the needed repairs to the Second Street a schoolhouse, the one-room African-American schoolhouse that just needs repairs there, that historical site. The Wingler Home, we're going there. Claudemore Park. Philip Boland Park, we have a whole team going there. Folks, when we started this several months ago in the planning, Pastor Alon came to me and said, Pastor, there's no way we're going to do this, all this work. Oh, there's an elementary school that didn't have the funding to get mulch and their grass and everything. We're going to go there as well. But he said, there's no way we're going to do this without at least 350 volunteers. I said, wow, that's a lot of people taking a Saturday and coming out. And do you know right now we have over 500 people signed up to help? So it's just going to be, we're just going to kill it. Wow. I'm just like, wow. If you're not a part and you would like to get out, put on some work gloves, and but there's all kind of projects, not just all work. We're going to the Wingler Home and going to be hanging out with some senior citizens there. So anyway, you can go out in the one community tent and find out more. We really encourage you to be a part of this birthday celebration. So go ahead and pull out your note sheet then, and we'll begin today's topic, today's message. I want to speak with you on this subject. You see at the very top there, how to avoid coming to the wrong conclusion. Let's say it together. How to avoid coming to the wrong, that's the subject. So we're going to be talking about, you have your note sheet there. Some of you have your Bibles, your Bible out, however you follow along. Listen to me. You'll probably agree that it's one thing to come to the wrong conclusion about who to start for fantasy football. It's one thing to come to the wrong conclusion about where to go out to eat or It's one thing to come to the wrong conclusion about trivial things, but what happens when you come to the wrong conclusion about weighty matters, things that make a difference, a critical difference in our lives? Okay, that's where we're going to camp out. How can I make sure I'm making the right decision? I'm deducing the right outcome here. I'm coming to the right conclusion. It's interesting to me that some Sadducees, I want to pick up a story, come to Jesus, and they ask Jesus to approve of their conclusion that they've come to. And their conclusion is this, that there is no resurrection. From our study of the Bible and the scriptures, and they knew the scriptures very well, we believe that there is no afterlife, that this is pretty much it. You better serve the Lord really as best you can in this life because there is no resurrection. So they came to him wanting him to approve of their conclusion. Now I want you to consider Jesus' words carefully as he responds to them. We're in Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. Jesus answered them, and if it's up there, you can read it with me. He says, "How wrong you are." Now just think about that. Jesus didn't just go around approving of what everybody thought or the conclusions that they came to. He simply said, "You're wrong." Now let's keep going here. "And do you know why you're wrong?" Now everyone read this next sentence with me. "It is because you don't know the scriptures or God's power." Let's read it again. "It's because you don't know the scriptures or God's power." Now we're going to move quickly. This is your first fill in a blank. The two basic reasons why we come to wrong conclusions right here, if we take Jesus seriously, he says it's because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Now I'm going to submit to you that it's the church's job to help us, to help people, number one, correctly know the scriptures, but number two, to correctly tap into and understand the power of God. So for the next 3 weeks, on our 35th birthday, throughout September, we're going to unpack these two thoughts right here. Knowing the scriptures and knowing and experiencing the power of God. What does that mean and what does that look like? So I want to thank you for being here. Let's just begin. How can we avoid coming to the wrong conclusion? Well, if Jesus is to be taken seriously, he says, the first way that you avoid coming to the wrong conclusion is to correctly understand Scripture. Okay. To correctly understand, a proper understanding of Scripture. Here's the interesting thing. The Sadducees come to Jesus wanting him to approve of their conclusion, and he says, "I'm sorry, you're wrong, you don't know the Scriptures." Here's, just in case anyone doesn't know this, the Sadducees were astute students of the Bible. They knew the Scriptures. So, it's not just you don't know the scriptures. What Jesus is really saying is you have a wrong interpretation of the scriptures. You know them, but your knowledge of them is wrong. The way you have been taught to understand the scriptures is wrong. The way you've learned the scriptures has led you to wrong conclusions. I want to say that again. The way you have been taught about the scriptures has led you to wrong conclusions. So let's let Jesus' warning to the Sadducees also be a warning to us. What's that, Pastor Charlie? Let's put it in our notes. We can know the scriptures and still come to horribly wrong conclusions. Now I'm sorry, we're in church. I'm gonna ask you to engage your mind. I know I'm going to give you a nice little homily, but I want you to think with me. We can know the scriptures and still come to wrong conclusions. We have to track with me here. I mean, here's the Sadducees. They know it, but they missed it, completely missed it. we can come to wrong conclusions even if we know scriptures that not only mess up our lives, but mess up everyone who follows our lives. I was watching John Piper give his story, his testimony. John Piper is a great biblical teacher. And he said, I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina in the 50s. Get the context. He said it was the era of separate but equal. He said, but there was nothing equal about it. We had separate bathrooms. We had separate restaurants. We had separate churches. Think about this. We had separate drinking fountains. We couldn't even drink from the same fountain. And I just, this is a boy. I'm just growing up in this, and I'm just assuming he's in a Christian home that this is all right. And many years later, he said, my sister was getting married, and my mom invited the maid to the wedding. She was a wonderful African-American lady who cleaned their home every Tuesday and Thursday. He remembers as a kid her coming, but she was always, you know, someone else, so just maybe a little inferior, or just kind of separate. But mom invited her to the wedding, and so John says the day of the wedding came around, and I was at the front door, and I was ushering. And the church leadership got wind that a black woman was coming to this wedding. And so one of the church leaders came to John and said, John, we've heard that an African-American woman, a person of color, is going to come to the wedding, and so it's your job to make sure she does not come into this sanctuary. But if she shows up, now you take her to the side and you escort her up the balcony. And John said, I didn't even know there was a balcony in the church, and I had been going here all my life. And he said, but there's a balcony. You take her up there, and she can observe the ceremony from the balcony, but not in this sanctuary. John said, I was standing there with, right behind me was a big stained glass window of Jesus praying. You've probably seen this picture before of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's in that church. Now he's feeling awkward. What am I going to do? How am I going to tell this lady? The door opens up. Here comes his maid, and she's smiling from ear to ear, and he kind of went over to her awkwardly and thinking, you know, how am I going to get her into the balcony? And just then he felt an arm grab her arm, and he looked over, and it was his mom. And his mom took her by the arm and marched her down the center aisle of that church and sat her on the front row to enjoy the ceremony. And John said, it was the first time I saw someone standing against injustice. Do you know that little white congregation was sitting under teaching of Scripture Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and completely missing it? Coming to the wrong conclusions. But I know my Bible. You know, can we just go a little deeper? We're all right. I know we're in church, but we have to be a thanking congregation. Just because you're in a building with a stained glass window and there's a cross there and you call it a church doesn't mean it's Christ exalting. And it doesn't even mean it's a real church. Just because you call yourself, right? We call ourselves Christian. Does it mean you're really Christian? We're going to... Jesus said you don't know the scriptures. Oh, you do know them. But the way you interpret them, you're completely missing it. Here's a thought there in your notes. Just because the Bible says something doesn't mean that's what God is teaching. Now, wait a second, Pastor. You're scaring me. Well, just hang with me here a little bit. You can disagree. Disagree all you want to, but I want you to use your mind and reason. Have reasons for doing it. Just because the Bible says something does not necessarily mean that that's what God is teaching. It takes great caution and skill. We're talking about handling this book. I mean, how many would agree that we can get this book to say just about anything? You know that? I remember as the youth pastor here, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but we had a goal to put Bible clubs in all five area high schools. Well, Loudoun County has grown up a lot since then. But we, in the fire escape, we got groups in every school, and one of the schools was Potomac Falls, and we had several fire escapers from there, so we started putting out flyers everywhere, Bible clubs, starting Bible clubs, and I needed leaders, and I had two senior girls who stepped up. They were really shy and nervous about it, but they said, we'll do it, and I was encouraging them, you can do this. God needs a presence on this school campus, a representation. You go for it. And so they put flyers up everywhere. The first day of the Bible school, the Bible club in Potomac Falls, there were like 30 kids packed in this little classroom. And I was in the back just for support and encouragement and watching these two girl leaders stand in front and kind of hesitatingly. And they got this Bible club off the ground. I'll never forget, it was the first one. And right in the middle of the club while it was going on, this kid raised his hand. And he said, I have a question. And so they said, yes. And everyone kind of got quiet in the classroom. And he says, I'm just wondering if you guys should be allowed to lead this Bible club. And then I noticed, what's going on? Then the air went out of the room, got real quiet. And I noticed on his desk, he had a Bible. And he had the Bible opened up. And he said, because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:11, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. And with that, he stopped and looked up. And these two girls who had summoned all the courage they could to step out were just, and they looked at me. And at that moment, I wanted to strangle that kid. I was like, I want to pound him so bad right now. And so they were just kind of taken off because listen to me, because the Bible says, well, we can get the Bible to say, and thus God, implicate God in that, to say all kind of things he never meant to say or to teach. So everyone kind of looked around, was disturbed, and they looked at me, and I said, well, I'll talk to you after class. Let's just keep the club going. But the damage is already done. You know, when I hear, now, just stay with me. When I hear things like, you know, this is a Christian nation. Well, yes, we have some Christian principles, but we also have some very unchristian principles as well. I was thinking, where did we get the idea as a Christian nation? We're founded on Christian principles, not to let women have a voice or any say when it comes to leadership or a place in our nation's history. Not until 1920. And where did that come from? You know what I thought? I had this thought, where would our nation be if a woman's voice and presence and leadership and ideas was recognized at its founding? How much further along would we be? But where did that idea come from? Let's stay with that passage a little bit. I just want you to think with me. Look what the Bible says. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through what? Come on, help me out. Through what? This is the Bible. You see? So let me teach you what God thinks women, according to the Bible, are more gullible. They're more likely to be deceived, and so we must protect them and keep them in a, you know, a place. But the men, you know, we're less prone to be deceived. Really? Really? Is that how it works? Again, we can get the Bible to teach Sadducees, you're wrong. You don't know your Bibles. Oh, yes, we do. I'm sorry. The way you've been taught about them, the way you interpret them, has led you to wrong conclusions. I was devastated. I was reading Colson's book on the Underground Railroad, just riveting. And he's telling about Cora's escape from the Randall plantation in Georgia through the Underground Railroad, just fascinating. But there's one little scene where Mrs. Randall comes with her Bible. They gave the slaves off one day a week on Sunday. And Mrs. Randall, the plantation owner, took her Bible down to the slave quarters there and would hold a Sunday school lesson for the women, the slave women and their children. And that day's lesson was on why colored skinned, why black people were cursed. And she, Miss Randall, opened up her Bible. You know why you guys are slaves and inferior and under God's wrath is because in Genesis, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham didn't treat Noah with respect, and God cursed Ham. And all Ham's offspring have been cursed ever since, and that's why you guys are cursed. And I'm reading this, I can hardly finish. I've got tears and my heart's hurting. That this is being used to teach that as if that's what God thinks. I literally could tell you story after story. Pastor, where are you going with this? This, I want you to see, is a very, very, very powerful book. And it can go both ways. When I say powerful, it is powerful. It can devastate if it's not handled correctly. Or it can be a source of absolute strength in life and break chains and open minds and liberate and increase. But we start with recognizing what's going on here. I want to read a passage of Scripture. We think about this word, Hebrews 4 and 12. I want you to consider it. Look at the words. Read it with me if it's up there. The Word of God is what? You can disagree, but just follow along with me. Let's read it again. The Word of God is what? Not weak. It's powerful. It is powerful. And it's sharper. Sharper than a double-edged sword. I had this picture of I remember Jill holding one of the kids when they were just a toddler like this and in the kitchen cooking. And you know, kids are like this. And before you know it, one of them had picked up off the thing and was going like this. Parents, you ever been there? And everything, we went over and got it out of hand. Why? Why? No, come on. Why? Because something awful could happen. Kate could have hurt herself. Not only that, she could hurt Mom. And just unintentionally. And we think, man, this only has really one side that's sharp. But this is so powerful. It's sharper than even a double-edged sword. Now, I want you to see this. This, in the wrong hands, all kind of devastation. Societies turned upside down. Wrong, coming to wrong conclusions. But this, just like this, if it's put in skilled hands or a chef's hands, can prepare a meal. A fabulous meal that will give life and health and sustenance and strength. So I want to just stop right here in your notes. Just get real practical. Here are some tips. Tips for a correct or proper understanding of Scripture. I don't want to get led astray. I don't want to come to the wrong conclusions. How can I, Pastor, help me out a little bit. Okay, let's go here for a little bit. Number one tip for pursuing a proper understanding of Scripture is to plant yourself, first and foremost, is to plant yourself in a good church. Well, I heard someone say he was meaning well, but he was completely wrong. He said, well, it doesn't matter where I go, just as long as I go. Listen, I want to tell you, if you don't already know this, it matters, first of all, if you go to church, it matters. If this is just one extracurricular activity that can come and go, you're missing it. You came to the wrong conclusion. But it also matters, not only if you go, it matters where you go and what you are being taught in that place. So in a good church. Notice I did not say plant yourself in a perfect church. If you find a perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore. Churches are made of people. Pastors are people. There's no perfect pastor out there. Surprise, we don't have angel's wings. We're kind of on this journey together. And we're called to be together and to forgive one another and to be patient with one another and raise our families together and go through difficulties together. It's called the family of God. So I want to find a good, solid church and plant a guide. I'm not an expert here, but I need some help with this because I know it can be a source of tremendous life and blessing to me and my family and my trajectory if it's well taught. If it's taught. So not perfect. Pastor Charlie begs a question, and we could go to another whole sermon. What's a good church? Let me just say one of the critical ingredients of a good church, by far, a weighty matter, is are the pastors there trying their best to rightly explain, properly explain, and teach the Scriptures? It's the first thing, one of the first things I'm looking for. Teaching the Scriptures. Apostle Paul told young Timothy, who was pastoring at the time, he said, do your best. Look at this. I want you to consider the words. Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as a what? As one approved. Listen, Pastor Timothy, your job is not to have the congregation clap for you. It's not the congregation's approval you're working for. You're working for God's approval. Correctly explain my will to them. Be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. They're going to believe you. Don't lead them astray. Look what he says. Rightly, look at the last phrase there. Rightly handling what? It's one of your main jobs. The literal translation in Greek is to rightly divide or to unpack this word. Be careful that you represent me before them. So, first I'm going to, it's not if church. No, it's church. And Lord, plant in a place that I can flourish and my family can flourish. So secondly, what's a proper way that we can approach the scriptures? In the words of the great theologian Kendrick Lamar, this next principle I just call sit down and be humble. Okay? It's called humility. 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 I remember when I was just going young, a young man going through a seminary and coming back to the church, and I was leaning on my dad. So and I was like, Dad, we need to preach through Revelation. And if you don't know this, Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and it's very difficult to understand. It's confused the greatest theological minds out there. And our people need to hear about Revelation. We should go verse by verse through Revelation. He's like, I don't want to teach on Revelations. I said, we need to do that. And he's like, Charlie, I don't understand it all. How am I going to get up and teach them? And I thought that, as a young man, was a sign of weakness. And years later, I'll look back, and it was wisdom. Just to be able to say, humility. I don't understand all that, but I'll stand here and teach the things that I know for certain so I can rightly guide you in the path of life. I had a professor I was thinking, a brilliant scholar. And at the beginning of the semester, he stood up and said, 20% of what I'm going to teach you isn't true. And we all looked up. He said, the only problem is I don't know which 20% it is. So I looked at him, brilliant mind. So I just need you to track along and let's do our best. One of the great hallmarks of proper interpretation of this is humility. Lord, you're bigger, you're smarter, you're wiser. No one and no one church has the corner on all the truth. So we just approach it, Lord, with humility. Number three is we keep the main purpose of the scriptures always before us. Keep the main purpose of the scriptures always before us. The main purpose. What's the purpose of this book? Do you know, if you want to find out information on the nation of Israel, why don't you go check out a good scholar? Find his book. Read up on the last 100 years, the geopolitical situation there and its history and how the nation of Israel became a nation. Good books. I want to find out how old the earth is. Why don't you find a well-researched, substantiated, scientific article on that and read all about it? I would like to find out about the best business practices are to just blow up my business. Do you know how many great business books? Listen to me. Come on. Do you know how many great business books are out there that you can read? I remember I was reading, I believe it was Stephen Covey, had a book, 7 Habits of Highly, help me out, somebody. You read it too. Ha! Effective People. Anyway, I was reading that book and this lady came up to me and said, why are you reading that? And I said, well, I need help in some of my leadership. And I heard this was a good, I would never read that. He's a Mormon. No, seriously. As if we can't learn anything from a Mormon? Listen to me. All truth, if it's true, is God's truth. And now hold on. I'm sorry. You might disagree with me, and I'm not up here just trying to win your approval. We passed that a while ago. Maybe in my first year I was trying to win your approval. Not anymore. All truth is God's truth. And this book does not contain all the truth there is. Oh, I can see some of you. How dare you? It does contain all the truth that's necessary to experiencing life with God. What are you looking for? What information are you? You can go to a lot of places to find out about the Grand Canyon. You can find out about how far the earth is from the sun. You all kind of books and stuff out there. But where are you going to go to find out how to have peace with God and experience the help of God and the salvation of God and the forgiveness of God? Well, there's a book that we can come to. So remember, keep the purposes of the book always before you. Look at what John said. John just came out and told everybody why he was writing. Look what he said. This is John 20 and 30. He said, now Jesus did many other things. Do you know that? We don't have everything written that Jesus did. He did a whole bunch of other stuff. We have, we know some of it, which are not written in this book. But these are written, if it's up there, read this with me. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus, he's the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you can start experiencing a life you could no way experience in and of yourself. Through Christ, I can begin to experience the life of God. That's why I'm writing these things to you. So the Scripture's purpose, let's write it down in your notes. Scripture's purpose, what is it? To reveal God and his will. To reveal how we are to experience his life, God's life, through the gift of his Son. Lastly, by the way, there's a lot more here. That's why we have next week. Proper understanding of Scripture is to seek, always seek to listen to the Spirit of God, to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. The object of Christianity, the goal of Christianity, isn't to put a lot of Scripture knowledge in your brain. Oh, I know the Bible. Oh, do you? Wonderful. Not the aim of Christianity. One of the great aims of Christianity is not just the knowledge of Scripture, but it's to experience the power of God. So Jesus says, you don't know the Scriptures, but you also don't know the power of God. What are you talking about, power of God? That's what we're going to unpack next week and the following week. How do I tap in? What's this power of God you're talking about? One of the ways we experience the power of God is he speaks to us. We hear his voice. He speaks to our hearts and in our minds. And that's the very power of God in our lives. Look at John 16, 13. When the Spirit comes, read it with me if it's up there. When the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead into all. Look at your notes there. Christianity isn't simply a belief or religion. It's experiencing the noticeable power of God. What are you talking about? First of all, it's just simply his voice. His voice. So I want to ask you, not how much Bible you know. Bible is wonderful. But what has the Lord been saying to you? What's he saying to you this morning? With this I'll close. I was Saturday. I heard a truck pull up and we weren't prepared, but the guys came to aerate our yard with the big heavy machine that pulls up all the plugs and aerates the yard, right? We have a sprinkler system. And if you don't put flags where the sprinkler heads go up and they run that machine over, it just breaks everything. And then you have, it's a big mess. I didn't know they were coming. They pull up and they start getting their heavy equipment out and they start down. And I run, stop. I didn't know you were coming. Hold on 1 second. Whoa. And I yell out, Charlie. How many know it was cold Saturday morning? Charlie's in bed. He comes out and he's got shorts on. He's cold. I was like, get out of here. We got to get the things before they leave and get the flags. They're in the garage. And so I run into the garage and turn the sprinkler system on. So all the so we could see where the heads were. And they start shooting water everywhere. And Charlie's, you know, dodging the water and trying to put, I said, get the flags, move. Water's not gonna hurt you, get. And I'm just going off on Charlie. You gotta move faster. Stop walking like this. Get out there. So an hour later, I mean, that was like, it was like intense pressure for like 5 minutes and it was over. We had everything marked. I was like, ah. But about an hour later, I got the book, the scriptures. I'm going to get down and get real quiet and study the scriptures. And the Spirit of God, that's what I'm talking about, the power of God, the Spirit of God was just said, you didn't treat your son right. So I had to put the book down and went and found Charlie. Charlie, where are you? Charlie, yeah, Dad. I said, you remember an hour ago when the people showed up? He's like, yeah, that wasn't a proud moment for your father. And this is what I should have done. And I want you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? He said, yeah. What's happening there? I'm living my life better because I'm experiencing the power of God. We're talking about the power of the Spirit of God to speak. Help me to be a better father. So always remember, these scriptures are here. They're introducing us to God who wants to speak and help us. Let's pray right now. Would you bow your heads out? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the moment you've made. This is the season you've made. Lord, I thank you that I'm in your house, and I thank you that your word is restoring life and bringing light and help to me. Lord, I just pray right now for that person who's new or maybe far from you, and you're drawing them. Lord, it's your passion and your intent, Lord, to help, to strengthen, to forgive, to give hope where there is no hope, Lord. And I pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, would open wide their heart, Lord, to you. And I just speak to every person in Jesus' name, help is on the way. And everybody said, come on, everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you.